SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, just a couple minutes in, and Jay Pribman joining us. Looking forward to talking to Hammer and seeing what he's got to say, and then we'll do some handicapping. I mean, obviously not a normal weekend preview kind of a day because there really isn't all that much to necessarily to preview. That's all right. We'll get this... This pick six looked at with Mike in a little bit. Right now, Rick Hammerly standing by. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
We're good.
I literally am standing by. I'm standing. I feel like I've been in the waiting room. Sometimes you tell me when I'm going to be on, and sometimes you don't. And so I've been listening to it's been great. Listen to Alan, you know, good news. And then Mark, of course. I remember back to when we had Mark on at OBS last year, last March, when he joined us at the sale. We talked to him at length, and I think he was nominated at that time. And talked to him. It's great to talk to him one on one. But I just bring up the point with a lot of these the human inductees that. You know, they're great at their job, but you know what? Most of these people are Hall of Fame people as well. And they're not just Hall of Fame trainers or Hall of Fame people. And I think we made the point last year when we were talking to Mark, but, you know, he's a Hall of Fame guy. He's done it all, but he's a real person. You can always call him up and talk to him. And, you know, I haven't dealt with him on a daily basis for, you know, my involvement in the game, but, you know, I talk to him when I need to talk to him, and he always answers the phone and always is cordial and gives the information. So congratulations to him for sure. And it's great to hear have him tell, you know, a little bit about his story and all the things that he's done in the game besides training. So that was a great interview. And your little stuff with Jay about that. Actually, at the time I was talking to our good friend, Jimmy Ventura, about things. We're getting anxious to get back in the game. He's got a filly ready to run that's in New York. I guess they're going to ship to Churchill and hopefully get a race in her. And how many other people out there are in the same boat of, you know, got horses ready to run and kind of which way do I go? Who's going to open first? When's the race going to first come up? So it's that old week between the Derby and the Preakness, but really is a lull this year. But there's some stuff on the horizon. There's some tracks going to open up soon, and hopefully we've weathered the first part of this, and tracks have adjusted, and we'll get things together, and there'll be, you know, a lot more stuff to talk about next week, next month.
Oh, I thought I lost you there for a second.
I thought I lost you too. But, you know, what's intriguing, as I go down the list of some of the tracks that are looking to open soon, you know, you got Churchill, obviously, they have something. Golden Gate, thank God, out here is running, and you're going to have New York coming in soon, and Maryland, and Indiana. Who's going to Monday, Tuesday dates? Is anyone going to switch over to them?
Yes. Well, I had Andrew Offerman last Friday from Canterbury, and they're looking very seriously at the first half of the week.
I mean, put it this way. I mean, we're all at home now, a lot of us, you know, for part of the day. Then hopefully a lot of us will get back to work and be out. But we're betting on a computer. And, you know, I think the most asked question of the last month is, what day is it? And so it really doesn't matter. Saturdays, Mondays, Tuesdays. If we're looking for, you know, to get on and play a little, it really doesn't matter what day it is. So, you know, we've had Fawner and Will Rogers Downs on Monday and Tuesday, and hey, I've enjoyed it. I've played Mondays and Tuesdays. It doesn't matter to me. So there isn't, seems like there's going to be an opportunity there. And I'm thinking and hoping that there'll be a couple tracks that say, hey, you know, we'll do it. And because I think there will be a good following for them. So Monday, Tuesday are going to open up. But speaking of open up, Golden in California, I hear Golden Gate got the good news. They're going to open soon. And Santa Anita has scheduled to open a week from today on Friday. They haven't got the official word, but they're going to go through with the entry process and you know, plan on running unless, you know, unless they're told not to. And which is great news. We're at the critical point here where these horses need to run and they need to get going. There needs to be some confidence instilled in the program here. Del Mar is doing their part. They're getting ready and trying to do what they can to get the horses down there after the meet ends here in late June. So some kind of continuity going on here. So they've got some new protocols that they're working on here, which they presented to the health department and the county that have to review how they're going to handle things here. It sounds like it's a little different than other states doing as far as saddling the horses and how they're going to be handled once the saddle gets put on and the riders get put on and how they make it to the track. There's some different talks about that, and maybe next week we can get someone on early in the week from here that can explain it. I kind of have an idea of it, but I don't want to say it differently. There's talks of you know, sequestering the jocks and the starting gate crew and maybe the valets during the races on Friday, Saturday, Sunday and having them stay on the ground. And so there's some version of that that's been discussed as well. So good thing is it's being talked about and, you know, just need to get back to racing here. And there's a lot of horses ready to run and, you know, California needs to get on the scene as does New York. And I think they're scheduled, you know, hopefully May 29th is their date. But anyway, it's good to talk about things that are happening good. And, you know, we're jonesing for another three-year-old race. We got a little bit of a fix in last week with the split of the Arkansas Derby. And you know, things went, I guess, according to plan with Baffert winning both ends of that. And we sit back and look at the arsenal that he has. Not only in the three-year-olds, but in the older horses. It's, you know, we need to see some of these horses on the track. Let's check it out. But it's all good out here. The weather's been good. And, you know, I'm hoping that this isn't just a false hope just in general, but I see some more smiling faces out and about in the neighborhood. And as I walk around with golfing the other day, and people were standing around at the end of the day on the patio drinking beer, telling stories, laughing. It was actually pretty good to hear, and I hadn't heard that in a while. Even in the grocery stores, people are a little bit happier than they seem to be. So let's hope this isn't just a false sense, but or we're just becoming you know, immune to the new normal. But anyway, it's all good here. We've got a sale coming up at OBS. Let's not forget that in basically a month, right? I think it's June 9th that the first sale, the brief shows at the end of this month. Horses start heading to Ocala, and a lot of horses are going to be for sale. So there's that going on. So we're slowly getting back into the racing mode as we know it. And thank God for you, Steve, keeping us all informed every day and, you know, having your guests on keep us going, because I don't know what else we'd do.
I appreciate it, and I've actually heard from some people, some very kind. I haven't responded probably enough on email and such, but people are, I think, enjoying, you know, just having, you know, having a distraction, whether it's the wagering opportunities that we've got and have had with Oaklawn, Gulfstream, Will Rogers, Tampa, and Fawner. And, you know, I don't want to leave out the quarter horse tracks, Remington and Los Al, you know, but it just, I mean, at least for 3 hours a day, I hope it, you know, people are you know, feeling well, you like know, Steve, they got something to look forward to.
Every day is not a woe is me day. Hey, let's talk to someone and let's hear how bad things are. You know, your shows are uplifting and you're talking to, you know, good people. It's all been positive, and that's what we need right now. We don't need any more bad news going into our psyche. So it's great. I guess listen to Alan talk this morning about, you know, the new things going on in Maryland and how happy he is. And who knows, nobody's worked harder in this game than he has. And, to hear the excitement in his voice is great. So there are some things to look forward to, and when we get through this, whether it's 6 weeks, 6 months, or a year, coming out, there's going to be some opportunity to, you know, reinvent a few things, and whether it's scheduling or just streamlining the way things are done in the game, and we can maybe turn this around and turn it into a positive and make things better for things to go on. And I'm starting to feel a little bit more positive energy instead of people getting down. But we are at the critical time where we need to get those horses out there. We need to get them, you know, not just for them, but for the owners to get some money in their pockets and kind of get the feel of the game back. And you know, like I said, that's what you do. You keep the feel of the game going. And we're down to one. Was it yesterday? I kind of took a week off as far as playing the old Derby Wars and the head-to-head stuff, but I started to get back. It was like, what track yesterday? Like, what's going on here? And we have two tracks today and two tracks tomorrow with Gulfstream. Thank God for Florida. They're keeping us in the game. And it's nice to look down and see some two-year-old racing, huh? We see some – there's a two-year-old race today and there's a two-year-old race tomorrow at Gulfstream, and see a little Nyquist in there. You see a little Frosted on the outside. So, you know, this is what we need. We need that rebirth, those two-year-old races. Get them out. And I imagine they're going to be very prevalent on a lot of cards as we're into May, and we're probably about a month behind getting these things out. So there's some things to look at. The Gulfstream card tomorrow especially is very good. And like you said, you talked to Mike Lakow, and he's like, hey, we got all these horses here that can't go anywhere. Let's write some races for them. And they did that last week for the three-year-olds and now for the older horses on the turf. I mean, 75,000 is not bad, right? And it just goes to show that opportunity is actually more important than purse money at this time. These horses just need a place to run. And so it's great. So I hope everybody jumps on that. Is it mandatory payout tomorrow as well? Did I read that?
Yes, there is. Yeah, there is.
And, you know, these mandatories are actually pretty fun to look forward to. Fawner's announced a couple along the way. I think they have two more coming, and they're picked five. And, you know, we jump right, two more.
Next Wednesday, the 13th, and then closing day, the 27th.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I'll put a big circle around the calendar for those days. And, you know, Gulfstream has them as they come along. But, hey, you know what? And if you haven't started to take a look at this card, you better start soon because it's a tough one to get through, as most of them are. But, you know, this is what we would look forward to now. And we'd be just be glad to have the action back. It's going to be interesting to see where the money is going to end up. Meaning, you know, the money that we spend, we've been spending it on five, six tracks. Three, four, five, six tracks a day. And now as we open up a little bit more, we'll see if more money comes into play or if the same money just gets divided up. And interesting to see where all that stuff goes. But can't say we're going. Guess what? There's no football out there. There's no basketball. We're racing. And so, it's a tribute to our game that we are still going and can't wait till we get back to even a little bit more of it.
Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, for those that might have missed it, the next certain openings this week include Charlestown and Golden Gate on Thursday, and then Churchill on Saturday, the 16th, and we're assuming, hoping, speculating on Santa Anita Friday, the 15th, and then into the third week of the month, Friday the 22nd, Ruidoso, and they're going to have some of these almost half-mile races for thoroughbreds as well. And Assiniboia, May 25th, Mountaineer May 31st. So by the end of the month, 3 weeks essentially from today, Memorial Day happens to be the 25th this year, the way the calendar falls. Excuse me. And by the end of the month, we'll have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We'll have 11 racetracks operating, and that'll feel fairly robust, I think, to everybody.
That's beautiful. And then with some June openings as well, hopefully Monmouth and, you know, yeah. Louisiana Downs.
Now, Monmouth's waiting. Monmouth's waiting. Monmouth is not opening till
till July 4th.
They're
going to.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to wait till July.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. Now, you know what? I'm finally going to ask this question, and I feel like an idiot, but I've been doing Fauner Park since last 3, 4, 5 weeks. And there's one track on there, symbol that I don't know what it is. CLS. What is that? Is it CLS?
That's Columbus. Columbus.
Columbus. Okay.
Columbus, Nebraska.
Columbus, Nebraska. Okay. I feel like such an idiot. I'm like, it's on every past performance of every horse there, and I'm going, what is this track? CLS. And I didn't want to look it up. I was hoping it would just pop into my head. So I'm glad I asked. Columbus. Now, I don't know where Columbus is, and I didn't know they raced that long, but you know what? I'm Grand Island. That might be on a stop next year. I might have to make Fauner Park just because I've been playing it. And you know, it's amazing how you spend the time, no matter where, you get a feel of what's going on. And I've really enjoyed it. I mean, I've done well, and you know, I get to, for me, it comes on at 2 o'clock, so I can get my stuff done during the afternoon. And I just set my watch every 23 minutes, and I go back to the TV, and let's rock. So, I mean, we find our own ways to, you know, entertain ourselves, but it's been great. So, you know, that's not a whole lot else going on to talk about out here, but just we're keeping our fingers crossed. They're going to take entries on Tuesday for Santa Anita, and hopefully be back to running on a week from today. And we've opened up. I mean, it's almost like begrudgingly, but Southern California's opened up a lot. We got the trails opening today. Golf courses are opening today in L.A. County. Beaches are open around. So the florists are open for Mother's Day. Don't forget Mother's Day, everybody. So
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, because you know, you look on the calendar, it's like all this stuff going on. Don't forget your mothers, that's for sure. But so it's a little bit of a feel. We don't want to get too much ahead of ourselves and get you know, think everything's fine and dandy and start doing things we shouldn't do. But it's a good feel around here. I think positive wise, people are starting to get a little antsy and need to get back to work. So you know, it's you know, this. The quarantine, hey, we're in quarantine. The kind of difference has been fine, but we're going on our second month here, and we need to get back a little bit of normalcy. But anyway, racing has continued on, and it's just going to get better throughout. And like I said, we'll see what our next three-year-old fix is. Maybe it's going to be the Santa Anita Derby. You know, the first week in June is when it's scheduled. So carry on, you know, keep wagering and keep the game going and you know, be positive, and I think everything's going to be good.
Well, good attitude, Hammer, and I saw that you're out there blazing new trails. You found some hidden gem of a walking path, a hiking path.
Oh, we did the other. So my normal path here, it's got the yellow tape over, you know, and I don't want to be that guy that ducks under and, you know, twists an ankle and has to call somebody and, you know, take him away from something else, respecting the rules.
And you end up on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. So it's like we were up walking near there in the Chatsworth Park area the other day, Gene and I, and we kind of went through the bushes a little bit, and all of a sudden it's like we're on this trail. It's like there's no yellow tape. Let's go. And so we went on a nice walk up there in the hills around here. So it was like liberation or something. It's actually very cool. So it was been 100 degrees here in the last couple of days, but it's going to get back in the 70s. But I'm just thrilled to death that my hiking trails are going to be open. I can just get outside. It's so nice to get out of the house and do something you know, outside, just feel a little bit better. But as you run into people across, you know, walking around town, it's kind of fun. If you're walking down the street, you play a little sidewalk chicken as you walk towards each other. Who's going to go across the street to the other side? But everyone's doing it with a smile. So it's just feeling a little bit better. And anyway, it's all good. Wish everybody out there a good weekend. And like one more time, it's Mother's Day on Sunday. So, you know, if you can't get the flower shops closed, at least draw your mom a flower and tell her how much you love her and miss her. So that's it from here. And we'll talk.
Hammer, I appreciate it. You got it. And hopefully, hopefully we're going over the card, and we get Siegel in here, and John White's got morning lines to make at Santa Anita, and program selections to do, and so forth. So I appreciate it, and I'll probably talk to you over the weekend.
Yeah, you will. All right. Take care, everybody.
Rick Hammerly, everybody, and for those that actually I should have given Hammer this the traditional. The traditional sequence of racing in Nebraska is Fawner, you know, from pretty much midwinter, February, to the end of April. And then they move typically to Horseman's Park in Omaha. And they race like 3 weekends, 7 days of racing there. Then they go to Columbus. Columbus runs for about 6 weeks, over 6 weeks, and they have like 2 days a week of racing. And then Lincoln, they go to Lincoln for July 4th, typically. And then the season technically ends in Winnebago, Nebraska, for the single day of fair racing at South Sioux City. And that's the end of the Nebraska season. So those are all the various. They also have a little thing called Fair Play Park, which I'm not familiar with, but South Sioux City, Columbus, Horsemans, and Lincoln, and Fawner, your Nebraska circuit. And when we tell you that they are wild-eyed and that they love their racing, I mean, I'll never forget going to Exarban. I was so impressed. Let's take a break and get a slip Ed DeRosa in for a couple of minutes. We'll get an Ed visit, and then we'll close out with Mike Welch. And Welch and I will go through the pick six for the force out tomorrow. And after today, they'll probably have, what, 1.5? Yeah, probably about 1.5 million. So you could probably expect, given, you know, the lack of options, you would think six times? Yeah, six, 9 million. 8.5, 9 million? Yeah, probably. Maybe more. You always end up getting the under, no matter how aggressive you are speculating. Back after this, Ed DeRosa, Mike Welch to close out this kind of offbeat weekend preview.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, darling, let's stay up all night. Drinking whiskey, telling stories, I can keep you satisfied. Oh, darling, let's stay up all night. Drinking whiskey, telling stories, I can keep you satisfied. Oh, darling, let's stay up all night. Drinking whiskey, telling stories, I can keep you satisfied.
This is staying over. Call her name, yeah. She lies there on the sofa every morning, Lila Rain. Her waistline gets a rub, we trace our night of fun. These constant slapdash flashbacks of our date night down the pump. I hear somebody leaving, somebody heaving, somebody barely breathing. It's hard to remember where it descended, started as the quietest evening. I don't want to live in this drama, I can't keep playing this game. But the Friday night,
we're back at the races. Half hour to fill out on this normally weekend preview. Not a tremendous amount to preview, though, and we spent a good portion of hour one and into hour two with Mark Cassey, which was really fun, and we also got to celebrate the huge accomplishment in Maryland, the work that went into getting the redevelopment plan from a legislative concept into law, and now there's just a matter of four and a half years of rebuilding both Pimlico and Laurel. Ed DeRosa is going to join us, though, and they're getting ready to build the meet at Churchill that'll start next Saturday, and I'm sure it came as a huge relief and has got to have everybody excited, even without patron participation. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. A lot of buzz. Obviously, some horses are not obvious if you don't know, but they start arriving on Monday when the backstretch opens. They draw Tuesday, and it's going to be tough to replace the excitement of Derby Week. Hopefully, we'll get that in September. But in the meantime, the thought of welcoming back live racing next week, I'm definitely really excited about it.
Well, we'll look forward to next week and getting started and looking at the cards that Ben Huffman and his team will put together. Very happy, by the way, for Stu Slade, who has been added to the staff at the racing office. And Stu, of course, late from Woodbine and signed on with Ben. And I know he's excited to be there. Well, let's get a feel. Give us a feel for what you've played last week. We didn't talk last week, did we? How'd you make out at Oaklawn?
Oaklawn was tough for me. Just Well, I mean, as you know from the text we exchanged with James, I was, and from the show, I was against Nadal. So that opinion bit me a little bit. And I mean, to be honest, I mean, I thought that pick five, given the extremely logical horses that preceded the nightcap that several astute handicappers tabbed on top, was still pretty solid. I mean, that was hittable with the right opinion for $1,632. So, you know, congrats to those who made the most of what some may have thought were gimmies and Charlatan and Nadal. I was certainly pleased to see, by my standards, a fan of that horse, you know, take another step forward and get a solid speed rating. I'd say I'm about ready for him to carry some weight. You know, the handicap for these horses are in the high teens. You know, so maybe in the Stephen Foster, he'll be in the 120s at least. And certainly with Tom's Detente line and weight, I think we're in for a treat at the end of June at Churchill Downs.
Well, I can't argue, and Scully among those. In fact, Scully last week on Friday, he liked
Yeah, I didn't see her name either, which is why I totally picked her, but someone good ran well.
Swiss.
That's right. He had the fantasy winner, too, at a number. Yeah, him and Shapiro.
Swiss
Skydiver.
Well, she and, you know, it's funny because I used her prominently too, and picked her third. She was one of those horses that you know, at the morning line, you were like, okay, I guess, and you were like, I'll use her. And then if you're, you know, you're betting as the day is unfolding, and you're like, holy cow, okay, yeah. If she's going to go off, you know, if she's going to go off at 8-9 to 1, I'm all in. I'm very interested. And then of course, you know, we both James. It's funny, James pushed Take Charge Doro, and I, she was, he was my value play too in that nightcap, and made for a great way to finish up at Oaklawn. So nice job, and thanks
to
James. Absolutely. Well, let's get a couple of ideas in here, and what do you, I've got Mike Welch to go over Gulfstream, so you got something for today, and I know you wanted to talk about Fonner.
Yeah, today at Gulfstream, I had two plays that look good at the morning line. Which, looking at the fields, I think might hold up. So, in race four, taking a flyer on one of the layoff horses. I mean, there's just horses from all over the joint in this race. It's a maiden turf, 12,005. But Jeeker Joe interested me. I was really encouraged that Tyler Gaffleone saw fit to take this mount. And this horse also has shown speed. Now, it's a long layoff, so hopefully he's sharp enough to show that speed again going two turns off, many months off. But, you know, these horses, Steve, are not the type that I would, you know, consider competitive in the lane. So his speed just might be enough. And, you know, just play past me if you want to. But a 10-1, Jeeker Joe is definitely going to be on my ticket.
Jeeker Joe, very nice. That's the eight.
Jeeker
That's
Joe.
The eight in the fourth race.
Yep. And then in race nine, Blue Ridge Mountain, I'm really interested in Mary Epler pushing a lot of buttons here. And our Mid-Atlantic listeners might know more about her throughout the year when she's not at Gulfstream. But knowing the configurations at Laurel, very similar to Gulfstream with the one-turn dirt mile and all the rail placements on the turf, I thought it was interesting that this one ran pretty well on turf last time, speed-wise. I mean, maybe it doesn't look competitive on paper, but the number certainly stacks up. And now cuts back to the one-turn mile, gets Aramio a leg up, which maybe a slight improvement, and top-ranked in prime power as well for Brisnet. So to me, between the trainer angles and the numbers fitting with this group, I thought 8-1 was fit for a tab on number five Blue Ridge Mountain in race nine.
Blue Ridge Mountain, and we love Barry Epler. That's the ninth, the five in the ninth race. There we go. So a couple of punches for Ed today. The eight in the fourth and the five in the ninth. And
before
we go, and give us what were you thinking about Fonner?
Well, just, you know, the mandatory payout coming up Wednesday, and they're going to do it again on closing day. But I thought it was interesting. Marcus made a point last week sometime about the whole card was basically won on or near the lead, and the rail was beneficial too, it seemed. And then the next day it was completely the opposite. So, you know, day to day, I wanted to caution about reading too much into what happens on Monday or Tuesday for the mandatory day Wednesday. But I was going back through charts when Marcus mentioned that, and it does seem like whatever happens in the first two or three races is the blueprint for the day. I didn't find any day where I could say, man, things really changed throughout the card. Now, you know, sometimes the best horse won against the profile, but by and large, I would encourage people, and this kind of speaks to what you said about Swiss Skydiver, if you're going to get involved on Wednesday, put your tickets in or be willing to make tweaks after you've watched the first few races.
That, you know, that is a great point. I'm glad we fished it out because of the two venues, and Marcus contributed to this discussion when we were bringing guests in. You know, Paul Matisse gave us thoughts about the bull ring, and Marcus talked more about and Scott Young too about Will Rogers, which is the more seemingly the more even-handed of the two racetracks. I mean, it seems like that whoever's best from wherever they want to come, you know, if there's a horse that's looks best on the lead, they can win on the lead, and if it's somebody that wants to come from off, that's a style that works too. It seems like it's almost like a bias-proof oval, but Fawner very different, and you know, there's been some things that have happened. The introduction of this Arrieta in the late stages, this kid can ride, he's a spark plug, and I think he's shaken some things up too. I agree with everybody like Hammer and others that have really taken a shine. And we'll be looking forward to Fawner coming back next winter. I think people that have, you know, after the frustrating situation with the steward decision, I think people have really kind of gotten into a routine of enjoying it. It's a different brand of racing, and people are applying the learning to it and are gotten into a routine.
Yeah, no, I've obviously enjoyed it in part because of the hits, but I enjoy watching it. And, you know, the bias thing, you know, at a track like Belmont or Gulfstream where you have different turf courses and they're sprinting and they're routing and everything's one or two turns. I mean, you might only get one opportunity on a card to take advantage of a perceived bias you see earlier, but at Fawner, I mean, it's all 4.5 or 6 furlong races. I mean, maybe 1 mile race that is different with the three turns. But for the most part, you know, what you see is what you get early. So, you know, and a lot of times you think, oh, everyone's going to see that and the odds adjust. But that's just not the case. I mean, prices come in there, you know, 2-3 times a day and big prices.
Yeah,
not
no
just
doubt.
8 or 9 to 1.
Yeah. Absolutely. Horses just sort of get lost in these in good sized fields. You know, it's been a lot of fun. I love it. We'll look forward to next week and the Wednesday force out. Ed, kids are all good. Everybody's healthy and happy.
Yep. We've been hanging in, and school ends at home this coming week. So I guess the school's out for the summer after Churchill opens, which I'm sure will be good for my wife. She won't have as much to do when I'm at the track.
Love it. Well, Ed, thank you, and good luck this weekend, and looking forward to talking next week with the meet opening at Churchill Downs on the 16th. Let's stay right here. We'll close out. We got about 15, 16 minutes to spend with Mike Welch. And Gulfstream, you know, at a moment's notice, you got to be ready to print up the PPs and get ready for a rainbow force out tomorrow, races 7 through 12. It's a good sequence. Mike, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Quick question. Wesley Ward, when's he going to get untracked with his two-year-olds?
Yeah, you know, by anyone else's standards, you know, one win in 3 seconds in 5 2-year-old races wouldn't be that bad. But by his standards, that's underperforming, especially the chalk player's not very happy there because they all just get bet. It's Wesley, and they just bet him off the board. So I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I don't really see his two-year-olds, which is unfortunate. We get a couple of them that Donald gets a look at up at Palm Meadows, but those have all been on the grass, and it seems like those fast turf works aren't holding up over the Gulfstream main track. So, you know, who knows? We'll see. He's got a couple of live ones today and tomorrow. The one today, I think, has a very fast Gulfstream Park West works, and the Nyquist baby is in tomorrow. Looks like that one's okay, too. So we'll see. I mean, you know, he's going to come alive at some point here and reel off two or three in a row.
Well, the Nyquist today, right? He's got breakthrough,
right?
No,
he scratched today. I believe Nyquist scratched,
today.
In tomorrow.
Okay. Very good. I'm glad you told me that. I hadn't looked yet. All right, let's turn our attention to the sequence tomorrow. I talked to Mike Lakow, by the way, Mike, about an hour ago, and he explained the rationale of loading up those maiden races in the first half of the card, clearing them out so that the pick six players had, you know, didn't have mysterious races, and the reason there's all dirt to close the last five races or the last three races was because Wednesday, when he was building the card, rain was expected late on Saturday. Now it's moved into Sunday. So he didn't want to be put in a position where they'd have to take a race potentially off the turf once the sequence began.
Yeah, I mean, the sequence still has three turf and three dirt, but you're right. The last two of them are on the dirt, figuring if the rain came originally, that forecast looked like rain late Saturday afternoon, potentially,
right.
So that's why he did it. And I tip of the hat for doing his homework there. And there was some consideration of not doing this Saturday because originally the rain forecast was for Saturday and not for Sunday, and now that's changed. And hopefully if the weather guys are right and we can get this Saturday card in, looks like we're going to get deluged on Sunday right now if that forecast holds true. But, you know, it's South Florida, and anything can change between now and then.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into the sequence, Mike, and get some opinions. It starts in the seventh. This is a conditional allowance. It's a turf sprint that can be, you know, very, you know, deep, and everybody can get knocked out with one stumble or one traffic problem. What's your approach here?
You know, I'm a little surprised he put only nine in this race to start things off. We're kind of used to seeing 11 and 12, especially the turf races, 11 and 12 in every single one of these Rainbow Sixes. So a little bit of a break here, but it's not an easy race. I mean, the key to the race is what happens early between Fast Scene and Foolish Humor. I mean, these two look like they could be destined for a speed duel. And if that's the case, I think it would set things up for Envy to compensate, who at least have shown some propensity come from off the pace. I thought Envy's last race was pretty good. Got beat a length by Poseidon's Passion, who's now won three in a row, and just got nipped out the second by Shippy, who was the even money favorite. So that's who I took on top. But again, if one of these two get loose, that's seen a Foolish Humor. Foolish Humor was hard used in the stake last time, chasing Hear My Prayer, the winner, or dueling with the winner. The winner was just too good. That horse was even money, and she faded the third. Now she gets Irad. I wouldn't be surprised if she's the favorite now that Irad's stepping aboard. But, again, that Fast Scene has a lot of early speed, so we'll see what happens there. That, to me, that's the key.
You mentioned compensate. I thought it was I circled Cam Gambolotti's name, and I wanted to make sure to bring him up. Cam, you know, getting a string together, and good to see his horses, you know, having some horses out in the entry box. American Tap down inside making a seasonal debut. We talked to Cassie earlier. I should have brought this horse up, but I forgot. American Tap for Gary Barber makes the three-year-old debut. The filly's down inside. And 6-1, I thought, might be a little intriguing, saving ground under Gaff Leone. And the second leg of this, Mike, it's Claimer. 16, non-2. There's some droppers going 6 on the main track.
Yeah, and there's some pace in here as well. I took a little shot at the reserve not attained, just the blinkers on, and pretty good work since his last start. Looks like that was a race that horse had to need. He really didn't get into the race at all, actually, but he came out of it well with a good work and the equipment change. So I took a shot there, but certainly not a horse you're going to single. I thought War Act could be a beneficiary if the speed all hooks up. He got reserved, not attains quick. Catgon Quick is aptly named Quick, and Louis Kingdom's got speed. So I thought Warhawk was one I wanted to use. Road to Peace, blinkers on, you may want to throw in, although hasn't run nearly as well for new connections as it did for Safi Joseph. So I don't know about that. And Louis Kingdom is a big question mark here. Reclaimed by Larry Rivelli from George Navarro, and now has been idle, not maybe because they want to, but because they have to. Being an ex-Navarro horse, they had to spend a 60-day kind of quarantine period. Works have just been okay coming back, but has the speed and has the back class to win this race for sure. So, I mean, I'm using three in here. I'm using Reserve Not Attain, I'm using War Act, and I'm using Louis Kingdom.
Well, and Rivelli claimed this one back for, you know, big client Patricia's Hope, and Rivelli's numbers off the claim. I mean, this is a little different because it's a horse that was taken and ran once, and I don't know. I mean, his numbers typically off the claim are gaudy. He gets Rat Ortiz, and
right. You know, I think he's going to wind up the favorite.
Some people are
the Rivelli.
Yeah.
The success he's had with these guys, not only off the claim, but even more off of the layoffs. They don't seem to pose a problem to him. He's going to have to steal early, it looks like, with the three horse anyway, and maybe Reserve Not Attain, who might show some more speed with the blinkers on. So, you know, that could be a big part of how this goes as well, that early pace scenario. That's why I'm throwing War Act in. I thought of all the others. This looks like the horse with the best chance of picking up pieces.
Turn to the stake, the Sunshine Forever, and what a nice group, even if War of Will does not run. Mark Cassie told us earlier, Mike, that they're monitoring what's going on at Santa Anita, and he's 50-50.
Yeah, I'm sure he's more closer to not than actually running, since the post position draw, getting post 12 isn't going to help him. I mean, his works are... seems to have been on the sensational side on the grass. He's always been a very good workhorse, though. But it's asking a lot of him. You know, it's a surface he's never won on before, even though he's handled it. It's a tough post, big layoff, and a pretty salty field. So, I threw him in as a horse that could obviously win, but certainly far from a single or even a horse maybe some people would even want to try to beat in the pick six.
And I'm just looking at what you did. You like Gail Cox's upsetter from the Woodbine Mile, El Tormenta, second off the winter break.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some question marks here. I'm confident that last race is a total toss. I mean, post 12, got rank early, made this big middle move on the outside, and that's probably why they're taking the blinkers off today. Got a little bit too ramped up in that race. I mean, look, the horse beat got Stormy three races back. So on that alone, you have to throw this horse in here. Never really tried a mile and a 16th, only one previous start at the distance. Ran second in an A other than back at Woodbine a while ago. So that's a bit of a question mark. But, you know, certainly the class should be able to sit a nice stalking trip from down inside there. So I think this horse is a must use. And then there's a lot of question marks on a bunch of others in here. You got Hawkish coming back off the layoff. You got the Todd Pletcher pair of Social Paranoia and Halliday, both coming off victories, both coming off absolutely perfect trips. Social Paranoia closing fast off a hot pace, and Halliday getting loose on an easy lead and winning. You know, can they reproduce those efforts? Certainly, you know, if either of them do, they could win. And I also threw in Aquaphobia, who is, settled into the maker bond with two pretty good efforts. That Munoz race at Fairgrounds looked to have been a pretty good race from a numbers standpoint. And this might be a little easier group here. So there's a lot of horses you could probably use in here. Like I said, I wound up with El Tormento, Aquaphobia for the price, and War of Will. But, you know, if you got a big enough bankroll, you probably got to at least throw the two Todds in.
Well, Mike, and of course, going back to last weekend, you threw out some very nice prices, and you're reaching for Harbor Master in this first level allowance. This is the 10th race, second half of the pick six sequence, Harbor Master, Battle of Blenheim, and Basha. And I'm going to tell people, I think you got to use Shooting the Breeze on the outside, the 11 from Motion with Rosario, who really suits this horse.
Yeah, I mean, post 11, you kind of get yourself a little bit of luck into that first turn. I'm just wondering, you know, on the sheets that I saw, this horse ran far and away, biggest number last time in a while, and could be a bounce candidate, but I don't disagree with you there. I thought this race was very difficult. Battle of Blenheim is going to be the big favorite in the year. I thought he ran terrific last time in defeat, you know, had to put away a bunch of early challenges, looked home at mid-stretch, and then here come a Bruce Conviction Trade with a big run down the center of the track. He could wind up in a bit of a speed duel again here, too. There is Grace Fable in here and Extra and a couple of others. But that's why I used Harbor Master on top, just because he can close and just because he's a big question mark. I don't know what to make of him. You know, he's running for a quarter, been off the layoff, had a bunch of works in a row and then missed a month. You know, Patrick has had a pretty good winter here so far, so I don't know what to do. I mean, but I think you got to use him. You got to throw him in. He's a hard one to leave out for this price tag.
Well, late double. Let's get races 11 and 12 filled out. We got about a minute and a half.
A lot of pace in the 11th race. A lot of potential stars in here. Tappet to win. That was some bunch. He beat at Saratoga, then overmatched those two races. But he's speed. I'll fight Dempsey. Bounced last time off a big effort. He's speed. Haunted by the Music. Big, big effort at Tampa. So I'm saying that the race, he should have got a higher number than that number. They're all speed. And because of that, I went for our Mercedes Boy on top. Not that I'm not going to throw some of these others in. But our Mercedes Boy looked like he was going to win that race last time. But he wound up hooking a horse that could turn out to be a monster. Cajun Brothers, now 2-for-2. This horse is... got a big future in front of him sprinting. So I'm just going our Mercedes Boy, sit off the speed and maybe pick him up. But I'm definitely using Tappet to win and maybe going to throw in I'll Fight Dempsey and Haunted by the Music as well, but maybe on minor tickets.
Yeah, and what a treat to have a race like this with some horses with, you know, with real upside and Whiskey Sunrise too for Mike.
Yeah,
Yates,
and he's going to be
had a great spring mate.
He's going to
right?
be in the early mix, too. It's going to be interesting. Again, a lot of these pick six races are going to be predicated on the early pace, and if it plays out like you figure it might on paper, but that always doesn't happen.
Final, the finale here. This is a mile on the main track, optional claimer type starter allowance, kind of a mixed group.
Yeah, this kind of race is always tough. I started with Pepe the Hunter off that last win. I know he's in new hands now, but seems to be in good form, and his work coming out of it seems to indicate he's going to maintain that form. Trapezoid I like down on the inside to sit off and make a run if the speed hooks up. And after that, you know, pick your poison if you want to throw others in. The Queen's Jewel gets IRAD, so he's going to attract some money, and he's got a race two back that would obviously put him in the mix here, too. And I don't know what to do with the Robert coming in from Parks off the layoff. I'm inclined to throw him out, but he only shows one work since March 9th on his form, but it's on the farm, so who knows, you know, how many he's really had.
The Lupe Preciado, who does a good job. Mike, what do you figure this thing's going to bring in new money?
You know, it's usually four times what the carryover is, which is going to be around 1.5. But with us being the only game in town, I'm going to up that a little bit. So I'm going to say it's going to bring in maybe 7,000 more. So get up to 8 or 9.
I thought even higher.
I think the whole reasoning for giving this away this weekend is because this is their last weekend of being the only real major show in town. Tampa's running too.
Exactly.
But if Churchill's open next week and Santa Anita's open the next week, it's going to deflect some money away from here, but they're it. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you. You know what? This thing could get to 9 to 10 million. It just depends on how
exactly.
much the elite players want to put into it.
Mike Welsh, everybody, DRF Welsh, and there is the Clocker Report, and I'm sure you're going to want it, and it'll be a big help to putting together the tickets. Mike, good luck. I'll talk to you soon.
Same to you.
Mike Welsh, everybody, and quick out here, and kind of an offbeat weekend preview, but it was still fun. Alan Foreman with the great news out of Maryland. Mark Cassie, new Hall of Famer. Jay Pribman. Rick Hammerly, Mike Welsh. Happy Mother's Day. Make sure, don't botch that up. And thanks to Case on the board. Good luck this weekend. I'll write this up, and we'll talk to you Monday. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Thanks, everybody. It was a fun week.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.